Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Winter hits St. Louis. Not everyone has a place to go.
Have you been outside during the winter?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's cold out here.
Extremely cold.
And there's no shelters here.
No.
Every winter, hundreds of people in St. Louis are left without a shelter or bed. Many have no option but to face the night alone.
You know, we don't have too many people that really have the heart and time to really help.
That's when grace begins to multiply.
You might not be able to do something good for everybody, but if you can help somebody, do it.
It's got a hot breakfast, see all that? But it's not for me, it's for a guy sleeping on an air vent. Do good things for people. Jesus went about doing good. That's about what we're about to do right now.
Anybody that comes by and helps with a little food, you know, a little money, you know, even this tarp that keeps you warm, all these things, you know, they matter greatly.
Through hands that show up, through hearts willing to go, through a church that refuses to look away. For over 20 years, Faith Church has stepped into the cold, year after year, bringing warmth, hope, and the love of Jesus to those with nowhere else to turn.
You guys provided, and we're out here in the community giving out all the coats, the blankets. We had hot food out here today. So it's all because of you that we're able to be out here and be in our community giving back.
Well, I was praising my Lord, so he get all the glory. Thank you for coming out here to help people, to bring love, happiness, hope for others.
The fact that we can find resources for these people down here and just encourage them, it really means a lot.
I just feel, you know, grateful to be here. I was in need of some winter things. This event helped me with some of those things in which I needed. So God bless you, Faith Church, and thanks for coming out.
This is what Grace Multiplied looks like. This is the heart of Faith Church. And as long as there is need, we'll keep multiplying grace. One coat, one blanket, one life at a time.
Hey!
One of those things about purpose is, come on, everybody's standing up here at Sunset Hills, every campus, come on, give yourselves
come on,
a hand.
View. It's neat to see what we're doing around the, you know, in our cities, and even in Florida yesterday.
And getting the opportunity to see what it means to people.
Yeah.
You know, that really just pulls on my heartstrings, because I think sometimes we forget. Like, I go to my closet and I think I don't have anything to wear, and then I see that and I realize, oh yeah, I'm a jerk.
Yeah. And yesterday in Florida, Anquan Boldin, he's a famous football player apparently. I don't follow football. He comes to church every Sunday, and he does something there in Florida that we helped him partner with the last few years. And yesterday, our team in Florida and Anquan fed 3,000 people. Come on, somebody. They're lined up for miles. That's cool. I always say, you don't give to a church, you give through a church, right?
And the team was out there. You guys, if you didn't see it on Instagram or Facebook, there's cars lined down the street, and you guys helped put food in every single car.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this Saturday night, everybody shout, this Saturday night, every campus, Earth City, Fairview, Weldon, everybody comes in, and it's a great time to bring your friends, isn't it?
La 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 la. That is my worship for today. You're welcome. You know, if you demand high enough, maybe I'll come back next week. No teasing. But we do the Christmas tree lighting. And how many of you know you've got family that will come to stuff for Christmas, but they might not just come to church? So, like, cocoa and cookies and decorations for the kids and crafts. It's going to be so much fun.
Be great. So bring a friend this Saturday night. You can still go to church to your other campuses on Sunday morning. And one more time, give it up for Pastor Nicole and the whole church. All right, you can be seated if you're good looking. Today, I really want to share something with you that I think I really know could, and I hesitate saying this because I hate it when a guy says, hey, this will change your life. Turn me way down, son. I don't like to overpromise and underdeliver, but honestly, this is a sermon that could absolutely change your life if you get a hold of it, because God wants to bless you, and the reason he wants to bless you is the video you just saw. Some of these people, we don't know their story, And I kind of grew up, but my dad was a cop, and some of my family are very judgmental. Raise your hand if you got some judgmental people in your family tree. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming that you're the judge right now, right? But we just judge everything. And my dad sometimes, all right, I shouldn't, this guy ought to get a job. He looks like he's well-labeled, and I get that. But the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So I always go on the assumption of something probably happened traumatically in their childhood, or something happened that triggered them to get them in this spot. Raise your hand if that makes sense. So here's the deal. Jesus is not judgy. If he was, look at your neighbor and say, you wouldn't be here today, you little sinner. Come on, tell him that, right? Okay. So Jesus doesn't judge you according to what you did. We get the judgment of God looking through the lens of Jesus, okay? So it's really cool. So the reason God wants to bless us is so we can be a blessing. Now, if you brought your Bibles today, you can find it over in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians is in the 9th chapter, and I like to encourage you to bring a Bible and read the Bible. The reason why oftentimes I don't preach from the Bible, and I preach from the Bible, but I actually don't hold it in my hand, and I force myself to put it on an iPad because I start looking at a scripture and I go, well, let's go to the one above it. It's so good. Let's go to the one above that. It's so good. The one above that. And the next thing you know, I'm in Genesis. And in the beginning. Come on, somebody. So that's the reason why I do it. So on the screen, they're going to share with you some things that will help you at every campus. And it says this. Remember this, the farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Then verse 7 says, you, look at your neighbor and say, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Now, notice it doesn't say that you reason it out, you think about it, you see what is feasible, you give from your heart. Now, if you're like me, you probably had a grandma that didn't have a lot of money, but she sent you a crisp $5 bill at maybe your birthday. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that. It's like, I don't even know how it's so crispy. It's like they, I don't know if they put it in the oven or what, but real crisp $5 bill. Now, you might have got something really, really good or big, a higher value from somebody else, but because grandma gave it from her heart, it meant something to you, and you raise your hand at every campus saying, yeah, it's a big deal. So God is not really looking at how much you give. Some of you are like, well, that's good. But he's looking at how much you got left, and did it come from your heart? Now, when I was a little kid, nobody taught me to be greedy. Nobody taught me to be stingy. But my grandkids, nobody had a lesson with them. And my little grandson, he was like one. He was licking on like a dip cone, and my son says, hey, I want a bite. And he said, no, it's mine. We didn't send him to school for that. He just naturally said, I like this, I want this, this is mine. So it's natural to be stingy, it's normal. Look at your neighbor again and say, well, that's good news. So we see here that you've got a purpose in your heart and you must decide. God's not going to decide for you, I'm not going to decide for you. He says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. We don't ever want you to feel that here at Faith Church. For God loves a person who is a cheerful giver, a happy giver. And God will generously provide all you need. Everybody shout need. Then you will always have everything you need. Say it one more time. Need. And have plenty left over to share with others. Now, it does not say you're going to get everything you want. I believe that God does give you the desires of your heart. I do believe that. But oftentimes we get things we don't need. Anybody ever bought something and you really wanted it and then later you thought, I wish I could get half of my money back from it because you just thought you needed it, but actually you wanted it. So God promises, even in Proverbs, he says this, he said that I will provide everything you need. I will meet all of your needs in Philippians. I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So number one, God's your father and he's going to take care of you. But again, notice he said you're going to have plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever to the poor. Now, when I think poor and you think poor, we probably think the same thing. They don't have any food. We feed them. They're poor. But I was in Palm Beach there in Florida. Give it up for our Palm Beach family there today. And And there's a certain section of Palm Beach. There's more billionaires in that row than anywhere in America. They all live there. You name it, and they live there. I mean, some of these houses are $50 million, $60 million, some $110 million. It's mind-boggling if you grew up in Missouri in a trailer. Come on, somebody. It's a bender. And God told me to go down there a long time ago. I didn't know there was any money people there. I just went there because God told me to go there. We went on television. We started helping people. Now, I was having lunch one day with a guy who was thanking me, and he said, thank you for coming here, and he took me to this prestigious club. And he said, I want you to know I'm so grateful that you came because of all these poor people. And I kind of laughed because there's Lambos and Ferraris, and everybody was just obviously wealthy. And I said, what do you mean poor people? He said, oh, you didn't know these people are poor? They're extremely poor. Oh, they got a lot of money. But listen here, the guy was way older than me and worth a lot of money. And he said, you think that poor is just like you don't have anything to eat. But he said, poor is when you got a lot of money, but you're miserable. You got a lot of money, but you're not happy. These are some really wretched poor people. Then he looked at me and he said, hey, listen, what I'm grateful about Faith Church is, and I'm glad you guys came, is because, yes, we need to help the down and out, but we've got to help the up and out. And I'm like, what? So here's what I'm saying. Every week when you've been giving and you've been sowing, and some of the original founding people that went down there and helped us plant three churches now in Florida, you are helping the poor. Now, I'm not talking just physically poor. That's one thing. But people that are spiritually poor. And here's what I love about our church. I love a lot of things about our church. I love our church so much I would never go anywhere else and pastor a church. I'm going to be here forever because I love you so much. In fact, when I go to heaven, I'm just going to tell God, can I go back on the weekends? Our church is such a loving church. It's such a friendly church. I invited somebody, and you should invite somebody. I invited somebody last night, Saturday night service, and the person hadn't been to church in a long time. And she walked in, and she said, I felt so much energy, and I felt so much vitality. And I was just, church was been over for like a half an hour. She just caught the people who were lingering in the lobby. And I'm like, you should smell it and feel it when everybody's here. It's amazing. Give it up for yourself for building a great church. You did it. You joined the dream team. You started serving. You got here early. So when I say poor, it said here, to help the poor. It's more than just feeding the poor. It's building churches to help people receive a life change. Verse 10 says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase, check this out, guys, your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now watch this. When you start getting generous, and you get over, this is my dip cone. My, this is my money. I got to protect myself. And you start being generous, it does something in you. Now, to prove this, maybe it's not with the money. Let's just talk about being generous in traffic. Anybody ever been in traffic and there was really a mess going on, and you saw a person, and you looked at them, and you went, come on over. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever done that. Didn't you kind of feel like, I'm just a great person? Come on, raise your hand. Am I telling the truth? I'm a great person. I'm a humanitarian. Something happened in your dopamine factory that went, I'm great. Now, I know we've all done this. Anybody ever been too busy? You ain't got time for this junk, and you're there, and you're like, you know they're there. In the peripheral vision, you can see them, but you're like, I'm not looking over, I'm not looking over, I'm not looking over. Anybody ever done that? Come on, don't lie in church. You've done it, and you're like, I'm not looking, I'm not looking. How did that make you feel? Oh, man. You didn't get that dopamine hit. So when we're most like God, and we want to be like God because we're created in his image, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, you're going to know this, for God so loved the world, he gave. God has one son, gives it to us. You talk about generosity. And then Jesus now dies on the cross for us. And thank God today, the worship set at every, we all sing the same songs at the same time at every campus. And man, when they were singing, my heart belongs to you, you're the center of it all, you're the one I hold on to. I was like, oh man, I sound like Alfalfa, but I love it. And then, would he come up here one second? Do you think you could lift him up here? Would it scare him? I was looking at this guy, and this little kid was on the front row. Hi, little boy, what's your name? Oh. Look at all these people. I looked over, and he's got both his hands up. He's like, you're the one I hold on to. He's got a Connect card. Jesus, I love you. And I was watching him in worship, God, I'm like, I love him. Oh, yes. Yes, we praise you, Lord. He said, we praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hey, wait, your mom wants a picture. Smile. Hey, you know what else? My wife is going to make sure. See, that's my wife. Wave hi to Nicole. Oh, he's going to blow you a kiss. This guy's going to take my job. You want to give Nicole a hug? Okay, give Nicole a hug. Oh, she's going to take it back to mom, and Nicole's going to make sure you guys got an extra $500 for Christmas. That's just something we'll do for you guys. Come on, give it up for what a cute kid. My heart belongs to you. But listen, when I was watching the mama with the boy, I looked over, and here's what I thought. What a good mom. She's teaching him worship. She's teaching him praise. She's teaching him church attendance. And someday when she goes to heaven, even if she goes way, 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 hopefully a long, 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 long time from now, he will have a seed in his heart, and he will know who he is, where he came from. Come on, somebody. That's why we do this. Okay. All right. Y'all follow me now? So that something is done in you. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that, everybody shout, so that. One more time. Why? So that you will always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who are in need, they will thank God. So by us being generous, it brings worship to God because people go, thank God. So let's go back one more time and look at this verse, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that, one more time, shout, so that you will always have enough. Now, let's break this down. So that is a subordinating conjunction. In other words, this is a word that puts this sentence together, okay? So that. So there's the action, that's what is done. Then there's the purpose, why it's done. So that to help you understand, maybe I could say, I turned on the lights so that I could see. I turn on the light is what is done. So that I can see, that's why it's done. There's a purpose to it, okay? So let's go back in one more time and look at that verse 11. It says, you will be enriched in every way. So let's put that on the screen. You'll be enriched in every way. That is what is done. So that you always can be generous, that's what is done. Now, we could read it like this. Check this out. We could say like this here. So that, come on, guys. So that you can sow that. Why are you blessed? So that you can sow that. So if we ever get this mixed up and we think that our money is our money, and boy, it just gets wrong and messed up because you have the wrong purpose for the blessing that came for the blesser in your life. Now, let me ask you another question. Did you think that kid was really cute? I mean, just one more time, just really cute. How many of y'all just kind of wanted to hug him too? You're like, he's just so gentle. Just like a little angel. Okay, think of all the thousands of people that go to our church that will receive blessings from our church that their dad and mom are in prison. I'm sure that's not the case here, but we have a whole gift situation going on every year that people depend upon you to be generous so they can receive a blessing because their dad or mom is incarcerated. When you think about the thousands of people that eat when the government shut down, the heavens from the windows of heaven did not shut down, and that's why the church is the most important organism in the world. God didn't say, I'm coming back for the government. He said, I'm coming back after a spotless, glorious church. Come on, somebody. I got one more illustration. I got some friends that are going to come out here and bring something to you, and while they're coming, I want to read this scripture in Genesis 12, 2. We're going to see a so that again. God says to Abraham, he says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, everybody shout, so that you will be a blessing. Why did God bless him? So that he could be a blessing. In Proverbs 11, 25, it says, a generous man will prosper and be blessed, and he that waters will himself be watered. So again, we're saying, I want to use what's in my hand to do what's on God's heart. And so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back after a glorious church. But really, he's also wanting us to get trained. Remember the little kid getting trained to not be stingy. Now, there are people in our church that are generous, and there are people who are savers and hoarders. And I'm not against saving and hoarding, but I am really, really wanting you to get a hold of that God's blessing you so that you can bless others. Let's pretend right now that this is like I'm going up to heaven, okay? And there's a funnel in heaven coming down to you, okay? And then it's to get blessed and bless other people. Don't clog it up. Just catch it. He's just blessing that guy, right? There he is. He's getting blessed, and we're supposed to pass on the blessing. Then somebody comes along, and a wise guy, and clogs up the pipe. I want to keep it. I'm not going to give it away. This is my money. Then it stops the flow, so the other people on the other end, they can never receive a blessing because they have the wrong relationship and thought process about money. Then you go to church and you hear the word. Look at your neighbor and say, you hear the word. And then all of a sudden now you say, my life has changed. You open it up and it begins to flow out in a massive, I'm not even able to contain it. Look at that. This is the story, the good news of the gospel. Give it up for the guys. You can leave the props there if you want. Come on, didn't they do a good job? So when we clog up the blessing from the blessor, we keep God's blessing from flowing in our life. So what do? First thing we do is we start honoring God. And you did that today at every campus. You came to church. You were worshiping God. Even if you can't sing, you sang because God likes to hear you sing. You're giving your entire life to Jesus and his word and renewing your mind. Now, remember that scripture I shared earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I don't want you to just think about money. I want to think about your time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time is very valuable. The most valuable thing you got is time. So I want you to cross over that line going into 2026 and say, I'm going to go to Growth Track. I'm going to start serving. Because a big church like this, thousands of people come to church this week, and they come in and they go out. You're like, I serve the Lord. Where? I'm in the secret service. Nobody knows about it. No, you're saying, no, I'm serving the Lord with my whole heart. Because, again, it's about your heart. And I don't want you to do it out of compulsion. I will say it's the greatest feeling. If you think it feels great to do this in traffic, you wait till you come in and you're serving coffee to a single mom who drug in four kids by herself while her husband would not go to church, and she looks like, you know, oh, God, help me. And then our dream team comes in, they take the kids and they check them, and just changing the diapers of somebody at all of our churches are changing diapers today. I would hate that job, but some people love that job. Give it up for those people. So figure out a way to give back, but some people say, I'll give all my talent, I'll give all my time, but I'm not giving no money. Here's the problem with that. When you do that, you keep God from blessing you, and you clog up that pipe. Ask yourself this question. If you were God, look at your neighbor and say, thank God you're not. But if you were God, the question that I'm asking is, would you bless you? If you're a person who clogs up the pipe, or you are a person that says, hey, no, I'm going to give so it can be given back to me so I can be blessed by God. Now, let me tell you something. There is nobody that can set you up for success any more than God can. And he has given you a talent. And the enemy has stolen your dream. And the enemy has told you you're never going to make it. I'm talking to people right now on social media, and your best days are, and if it wasn't for the divorce, and if it wasn't for the Google search, I'm here to tell you right now that no power in hell can stop what God is doing in you and with you if you will, come on somebody, say amen to this right now, if you'll change your focus and get your focus on him. Now let's go here to this scripture in Luke 6:38. It says, give away your life and you'll find life given back. Not merely given back, but given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way of generosity. Generosity begets generosity. The way to get your life back is to give it away, give it away, give it away now. When you're selfish, you're only holding yourself back. Proverbs 11:25 class says this. It says the liberal soul, the person who is very, very, the opposite of stingy, will be made fat. And he that watereth will himself be watered. This is how you live a blessed life. And then I cannot stress on you enough. What you do matters when it comes to your kids and your grandkids. I want to show you a little video of my grandson yesterday going to feed 3,000 people in the back seat of the car. Check this out. That's what he says.
Hey, what are we about to do? We're going to pass out meals for Thanksgiving?
And we're going to go to church for kids.
Yeah, we are. Sounds like a pretty good day.
Come on, give it up for my son doing a good job. When I say my son, it's when I'm proud of him. When I say our son, it's when I'm kind of proud of him. When he's bad, I say, hey, Nicole, your son. But what he's doing right now is he is doing what his mom taught him to do. Before I got Austin, I didn't get him until he was 7. But his mom taught him to go to church and taught him to tithe. She was very generous. And because she lived a life of generosity with her son, it wasn't, this is what I'm saying. No, this is what I'm doing. Here's the really bad part about life is that your kids won't do what you say to do. You didn't do what your parents said to do. They're going to do and be what you are. The little kid up here a minute ago had his hands raised. Why? He saw his mama had his hands raised. He is being raised in an environment, and I'm begging you today, get your kids in church. When you don't feel like going to church, that is the devil trying to keep you and your kids' kids out of church. Come on, every campus, give God praise today. Ferguson, wild people. So let's watch this as we're kind of closing up. John 15:8 says, when you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. If we want to give God glory, and I know the answer to this, but I want everybody to feel it. Raise your hand if you want to give glory to God. Then what we do is we give him our whole life. And if you got my whole life, you got my money. One little boy on the front row came up a minute ago. He didn't come up because he thought he was going to get money. He just came up because he was so sweet, and he just hugged me. But when he got my heart, when he was worshiping, he got my heart. As a result of getting my heart, he got my money. All right? Not my money. I told Nicole, you give him your money. No, we got the same money. Don't fall for that. Everybody does have she money, though, money she don't know about. Come on, somebody. The women looking at me bad. Every woman has he money. There's a $100 bill, guys, behind the iPhone in the case. Somebody's got it somewhere. Come on, women. Don't leave me out here to dry like this. Some of you are like, Pastor David, why are you telling our secrets like this? You're destroying marriages. No. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know where I'm at right now. But if God's got your heart, you have no problem returning 10% to him. And then you say, hey, this is also beyond, I'm going to give glory to God by saying, hey, this is the time of the year to where one time a year, we only do this once a year if you're new here. Once a year we do a Jesus offering where we fill out this card that today at every campus, your campus pastor will tell you about it. I don't want you to fill it out today because I don't want you to go, okay, over the next 12 months, can we give 1,000? Yeah, we'll give 1,000. It's not from here. When grandma gave you that crisp $5 bill, it wasn't a lot of money. It was the thoughtfulness. It was the fact that you know there was 19 other grandkids that she tried to spread this out on. Although you knew you were the favorite one. Because that's the way she made you feel. So now let's pray about this. And then in December, we're going to bring a Jesus offering because it's not your birthday. We're teaching our kids and our grandkids, it's not your birthday. If you go to the birthday party, hey, buddy, I didn't get a gift. It wasn't your birthday, Liam. It was their birthday. And because when you're little and you're selfish, you give everybody a gift because you just know the little tyrants cannot handle it. But you should grow, and as you grow, you should say, it's not my birthday. So once a year, we bring our best gift to Jesus and say, it's not our birthday, but Jesus is the reason for the season, and it is our honor to give you this gift. Come on, somebody, give God praise. So we're going to do that as a church, and we always do. And it feeds the poor. When I think about Convoy of Hope, I think they got footage. Think about when the storm and the disaster hit in St. Louis and destroyed it. Convoy used our buildings, and we were the number one place in Missouri to actually become a distribution center at Earth City. That's in the buildings that you build. Why do we want churches? Why do we want good facilities? Because when FEMA didn't show up, Faith Church showed up in grand style. We were the first ones there. Come on, give it up for yourself. And we stayed the longest. And it cost us $500,000. How did we do that? Because of your generosity, because of people's generosity. Now, as I wrap this up, this message hopefully today and that illustration help you to go, there really is a God, and he really has a funnel, and he really wants to flow it through to me. And the reason I'm blessed is so that I can sow that. Can we put that slide up one more time? Somebody might want to take a picture of that. So that you can sow that. Now, as I close, last Sunday there in Palm Beach, you that are sitting there, there's a marina where people keep these mega yachts, and today there's a guy sitting there with you that owns two of the biggest yachts there, and he's at church today, and he's always wanting for years, oh, you, Nicole, come over, go on a trip. We never have done that with him, and always wanted to, but then this last Sunday, they've been on me so much that we went to lunch with them there. We went to lunch, and you could see all these boats. I don't know if you know why they call them yachts, because it costs a yacht of money to fill them up with gas. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about this guy who's at church every Sunday, and he has these two major, couple hundred foot yachts. Why would you go to a high school on a Sunday? And as I began to notice and watch him over the years, he realized that it wasn't about the boat. That the most important thing in life is, could he take notes at church? This guy's a billionaire, but he takes the envelopes of the church envelopes and takes all his notes because he's too tight to buy a notebook. Come on, somebody. And he's just got offering envelopes with all of his notes that are in there. But Glenn realized later in life, it's not about the stuff. It's about this one prayer he asked me to pray about 10 years ago. I said, is there something I can pray with you about? And he said, pray my kids don't turn out like me. And I said, oh, I can do that. Then he started coming to church, and his life started changing. And his priorities changed. So why did I tell you that story? Because you think getting a river house is going to make you happy. If I could ever get a house on Lake of the Ozarks, it would make me happy. No, I'm not against that stuff. But when you make God the focal point of your life, and you give your life away, that stuff can't fill you up. True prosperity and blessing is you're happy and you're married and you're blessing little kids. Come on, you're serving in church. You're healthy. Give God praise today. I want to pray for you. Everyone stand and nobody leave. This is an important time. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you move in and out every row, up and down every aisle at every campus at Weldon, Fairview, Earth City, online in Florida. God, and you would touch the hearts of people. And today, God, we have received the word. We've been taught the word. We got revelation, deep revelation that could change our life forever. And God, we offer you right now our whole heart. Say this out loud with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I honor you today. And I'm grateful today, thankful today. Going into Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for my health, thankful for my country, thankful for my marriage, my mind, my ministry. In Jesus' name, I give it all back to you because it belongs to you anyway. I understand now that I'm blessed so that I can sow that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen.